I thought today would be a good time, since this is Labor Day weekend, to talk about laboring. And let me give a little bit of the history about a minute of the origination of this holiday. Celebration of Labor Day was first suggested by Peter J. McGuire, who was founder of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters. It was initiated in the U.S. in New York City in 1882 by the Knights of Labor. The group held a parade on the first Monday of September in 1884, and passed a resolution to hold all future parades on that day, and to designate the day as Labor Day. In March of 1887, the first state law to declare the day a legal holiday was passed in Colorado. I'm surprised that something as important as that happened, didn't happen in Texas, but it didn't. Colorado. Followed by New York and Massachusetts and New Jersey. In 1894, the U.S. Congress made the day a legal national holiday with parades and speeches by labor leaders and political figures marked Labor Day celebration. Most Americans consider Labor Day as the end of summer. And the beaches and other popular resort areas are packed with people enjoying one last 3-day weekend, and maybe 3-day clean. For many families, it's a time of reunions. For many students, it marks the opening of the school year. This morning, I feel led of the Holy Spirit to, I wasn't going to teach or preach. I just call it preaching, half preaching and half teaching. Is that okay? Is that okay with you folks? Out there in the boondock?
We're here.
Let me talk this morning for a while about rest for the weary. Our scripture passage for this is found in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and 29 and 30. You might want to just keep your Bibles open to that place, and we'll be dipping into those three verses again and again this morning in the teaching. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." One of my favorite songs is entitled "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." You know that song? The first stanza says, "Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is always near." And the second stanza, "Cast your care on Jesus today, leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near." Third stanza says, "Troubled soul, the Savior can see. Every heartache and tear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near." Sing that chorus with me, would you, that song? burdens all lifted at Calvary. I swiped these from Sheree's table out there, and I hope I remember to put them back. This is a, looks like quite a burden, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of different baskets, and it's pulled by an oxen. They call it a caravel. Got these swept back horns, and as you can see, here's that's carved out of wood. This one is an actual horn. And that's just about the way that beast sounds. He's not like a cow or a horse, as we know them in the U.S., which will sweat. The caribou won't sweat, and so the way he stays cool, he gets out in the rice field when he's off duty and buries down under the mud, nothing sticking out but horns and eyeballs out of that mud. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. All over Asia, people carrying with a split piece of bamboo. We think of bamboo here as something about the size of the thumb, that gets about 10 feet high. But they have bamboo in Asia that big around and 40 feet tall. In fact, in many places in the most modern cities like Hong Kong, you'll see them with using that bamboo for scaffolding. Even in this modern day, when here in the U.S. we would use metal scaffolding, they use that bamboo because it's so very tough and works better for them than a steel kind of a structure wood for cleaning windows or repairing the building or cleaning the exterior part of the building. I've also seen them do their laundry, and in those modern cities, and they will stick, it looks like a fishing pole. It's actually a smaller piece of bamboo, about 8 or 10 feet long, and they'll have their laundry hooked onto that bamboo stick, and they may be living up in them on those high rises, 20 stories above the street, and they'll poke that laundry, instead of putting it in the dryer, they'll poke that laundry out the window, and if it comes up rain, as it does quite often, they'll reel that pole back in till the rain goes.
Boy, I never figured out again.
About that long, various things like hot food that they're peddling up and down the streets, or water, some kind of liquid.
And
I often wonder when I first began, a long American step, why the rhythm would be thrown off and they would lose everything they had, whether it was hot food they were peddling or something else that they had in that object. I've seen them with these little tricycles. They have in the Philippines as well as other places, a lot of little rigs that are built on about a 150 size Honda motorcycle. It's a very small motorcycle in the front, and then they have the driver sits on that motorcycle, and then there's room for two passengers inside, not passengers of my caliber, but it's better than two inside of that in the
seat. And down about it, bring strap legs or
a full grown pink
hole.
Besides where the passengers ride, and another one tied across the little back place where they would otherwise have. I've seen their famous jeepney that they have in the Philippines. You'll see a
replica
one out there on Three's table. After World War II,
then we left out of our equipment, military equipment
in the Philippines. It's too more expensive to bring it back than it was worth to us here on this side of the pond. And the Filipinos are very ingenious. So they got their hands on all those jeeps and cut them in two and added frame to them and stretched them way out. And put a bench down each side in the back part of it for passengers, I think, 20 or so inside those things, and half a dozen hanging on the tailgate or on the back. And then now, since the days of they're having the American Jeeps surpassed, they build their own jeepneys. A lot of them have a Cadillac or Lincoln Continental kind of front grill on it, and they make some that are humongous in size. I rode the full length of one of the southwestern islands there one year with about 50 people inside or on the top of one of those large things. Burdens are lifted in Calvary. Ever since Jesus spoke the words of our text, They've been among the most loved of his words in the New Testament. They promise rest for the weary in both body and in soul. How do the weary find rest, we might ask? Jesus shows us three ways for the weary to find rest in himself. The Lord says that the first way is to come to me, that is, come to himself. That's the way to find rest. Verse 28, come to me all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The words labor and labors and labored appear many times in our New Testament, in the Bible period, and in the New Testament in particular. The Greek New Testament has several root words for labor. The most common is a word that we translate from the Greek into English so that it sounds like E-R-G-O-N, ergon. And it denotes any kind of labor or service. The two words, Greek words with the strongest meaning are kopos, K-O-P-O-S, and that means painful labor, and moktos, M-O-C-H-T-H-O-S, which means toil. Heavy laden, as we read it in that verse 28, is used in the passive voice, metaphorically, in our verse of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and it is a translation of a Greek word, phortizo, P-H-O-R-T-I-Z-O, and it means to load. Thus we have the word heavy laden. They refer here to work that is difficult and exhausting, in contrast to the work that is productive and satisfying. Jesus offers us an invitation and an answer. The invitation of our Master is for rest from our labor. Verse 28, once more, all you who labor and are heavy laden. The answer from our Master is healing rest. Verse 28 declares that I will give you rest. Then Jesus says that the second way to get rest for the weary is to learn from me. First way is to learn of me, that is, learn of Jesus. The second way is to learn from Jesus, to learn from me. Look at verse 29, it declares it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, or from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. The yoke that we read of here is a heavy piece of wood that is shaped to fit over the neck of a pair of oxen. In Asia, they're called carabao. In the Philippines, carabao. With this yoke that is placed across their necks, they pull a heavy load such as a plow or a cart or a wagon with wooden wheels, or drag a sled, hauling bears and the sundry items on that sled. Figuratively, the yoke refers to a heavy burden or slavery. Jesus uses this figure of speech in a unique way in our scripture text. In verse 29, the Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, or learn of me. when we're in the yoke, that is in the harness, and in harmony with Jesus, we become his partner. He shares his strength with each of us, easing the weight we otherwise would have to pull alone or bear alone. Jesus offers us the opportunity to learn from him about sharing his character and the consequence of following his teaching. That's what the Lord is really getting at. The character of our Master is tenderness. Verse 29 says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." He is tender. Also, the consequence of learning from our Master is soul rest. Verse 29, once more, a piece of that says, "You will find rest for your soul." The word soul here is the Greek word psuche, P-S-U-K-E, psuche. This is one of the three dimensions of man. These are, number one, soma, which means body. We have that word in our English vocabulary in somatic, meaning the body. And then the second word is psuche, P-S-U-K-E, translates into mind or soul. And we hear in that word psuche such words as psycho. What is a psycho? He or she is somebody you want to avoid. We hear in that word psuche our English word psychology. That's the study of the soul or the mind of a person. And then the third word that we have here in third dimension of man is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. That translates into the word spirit. And it refers both, spelled the same way as the Holy Spirit, pneuma, except when in our Bibles the Holy Spirit is meant, is indicated, it capitalizes the P, P-N-E-U-M-A. You hear that word pneuma in many of our English words these days, such words as pneumatic. What is a pneumatic? What is a pneumatic drill? Any carpenters or concrete people here that do that kind of work, chip up the old pavement and pour a new pavement somewhere with an air hammer, we call it. But notice the word air. If they were Greek speakers, it would be pneumatic. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-C. And so we have all three. We have all three of these mentioned, and I'm not just trying to be smart aleck here when I talk about these three terms, that I'm being biblical. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely or entirely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body." Spirit, soul, and body. Pneuma, psuche, soma, your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. I want every bit of me to be preserved for the coming of the Lord. Of course, if I'm living and you're living at the rapture, time of the rapture, we'll go that way. We'll be caught up, spirit, soul, and body. If we die before the rapture, we still have a chance of going in the rapture if we're believers. I believe the spirit, the soul, and the body will be reunited at that time. And some smart aleck comes along and says, sure. What happens if out in the old country, church cemetery, Jesus says that the third way, to get rest for the weary, is share with me. Share with him. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is in verse 30 both an invitation and a consequence of sharing with Jesus. Jesus uses six personal pronouns to emphasize himself as our, I don't know what word to use here, VIP, very important person, or OIC, officer in charge. I know it's him and not me. He uses six personal pronouns in this little passage of three verses to emphasize that he is the important one in the equation. The invitation of Jesus is for us to share with him in our accomplishments, both naturally and spiritually. Verse 30 again, he says, for my yoke is easy. The task is easier both naturally and spiritually when two work together. Underscore in your mind the words two and together. Hence, Paul's warning in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The consequence of our sharing with the Master in our labor for him lightens our burden and also ensures our effectiveness. Verse 30 says it, my burden is light. This scripture reference probably was the inspiration for the writing of the great old gospel song, Leave It There. Take your burdens to the Lord, burden to the Lord, and leave it there. I want you to notice with me the chorus and the stanzas. Let me just read the stanzas, and then I'll invite you to sing the chorus with me. The first stanza says, if the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord. and leave it there. I learned that this way: take your burdens, plural, to the Lord and leave them there. Because I don't know anybody who has it like a songwriter suggests, one burden. How many of you have more than one burden every day? Yeah. The second stanza, if your body suffers pain, that touch anybody this morning? Anybody whose body doesn't suffer pain, I want to meet you.
Happy service, and you tell me your secret.
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Third stanza says, when your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord. Burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Fourth stanza, when your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, Norma. Where's Norma? Oh, there she is. Yeah, but it's creeping up on you. It's creeping up on you like it's creeping up on the Schultzes back there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And then the chorus says, leave them there, leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You know that song, don't you? Leave them there. Leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, so the consequence of sharing with the Master in our labor for Him lightens our burden and also ensures our effectiveness. He said, my burden is mine. In Psalm 55, verse 22, David wrote these words, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Hallelujah. Well, we've considered three ways to find rest for the weary in the words of Jesus in our three verses of Scripture. One is come to me. Two is learn from me. Three is share with me. Remember that chorus that we sang early in the lesson this morning? Burdens are lifted at Let the Master list our burdens on this Labor Day weekend. We don't celebrate like the vast majority of the people in our country do these days. For many of them, it's always a time to head to the lake for a last go around, for the freezer full of, the chest full of beer or something harder, maybe some drugs. And for us, it's a good time to go to Jesus, catch our breath again spiritually, and to get ready to go on in our service for Him. So now is the time for us to let the Master lift our burden. Some need to ask Jesus to lift from them the burden of sin, and any audience, as large as this audience today, you can count on there being someone who's not right with God. They may appear to be, they may profess to be, their family may think they are, but write down in the book of God that God keeps, they need to have their burden of sin rolled away, and this is the best time to do just that. Others need to ask Jesus to lift from them the burden of daily living. The burden of daily living. Let's pray about those things, shall we? Now, Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your joy that you put in our hearts in spite of any obstacle. The ability to carry every burden to you, Lord, knowing that you can lighten the load when we team up with you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I pray for every member who's in this Sunday school class, this Bible class this morning, Lord, that you encourage them, that you give them joy in spite of all the sorrows that surround us in our world. Lift every one of us up, O Lord God, I pray. O Lord Jesus, give us rest when we're weary. In the name of Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord. Amen. I'm so very appreciative to Pastor Shelton for inviting Cherie to come. I'm traveling with her a good bit when I don't have some other commitments, and enjoying very much being with my little girl, and trying to stay out of her way as much as I can. She won't let me drive, so that takes away one of the big things that I'm going along for. She doesn't trust my driving. And I taught her to drive. You know how that is. Thank you, Pastor, for the faithful support this church has given to her over the years. And she has a heavy financial burden. All of our missionaries carry a heavy load. You expect to, you know, when they come home for a furlough, to rest and refresh. And they're ready to go back again. They wear themselves out and they have to go back to the field to get rested up from the furlough when they're supposed to be rested. You know? But it's churches like your church that even when the missionary like Cherie does not get to come as often as they'd like to, or you out of your graciousness would like to have them, you still keep on sending that money in the spring field for them, and that's to be appreciated. Very much so. I'll tell you a little bit about her work. I give a little bit of report about what I do. I I've asked the pastor to not consider my overseas ministry needs financially at this time because I'm not going to go back as long as Cherie's here at home on furlough, and then after she's gone back, I will go again, the Lord willing. And this church has always been so very wonderful in supporting my ministry too, as an evangelist and as a teacher and a counselor and all the things that God helps me to do when I go overseas. Let me give a little, so I've asked the pastor whatever offering can be given today, let it go to Cherie entirely and not to me, and I'll come back knocking on the door a few months from now. And he was gracious to say, okay. I like pastors like that. Not just because of the finances that come my way, or the missionary's way because of that, but because that shows a generous and open spirit that reaches far beyond three rivers.
Yes, hallelujah.
It has reached with me into 42 or 43 countries in our globe. And I thank you. My last ministry trip, was February 27 through April 8, 2008. Our ministry in the Philippines was significantly blessed of the Lord of the Harvest. And so I'm indebted to you and others like you for your prayerful financial support. And that mission included preaching at Bethel Bible College in Manila, at Asia Pacific Theological Seminary up in the mountains at Baguio City, and numerous churches on several islands. Also ministered for the Assemblies of God Missionary Fellowship at their headquarters in Manila. I taught a special course on power encounter evangelism for the General Superintendent of the Philippines, Brother Ray Calusay, in one of the middle islands of, he passed the Lord's church also in one of the middle islands of the Philippines. He and his wife, Zenaida, direct one of the most exciting and productive evangelistic outreaches that I know of in any of the 43 countries in which I have ministered. He calls that Summer of Service, S-O-S. Additionally, I served in the Ministry of Counseling, a consultation for Philippine General Council, district and sectional leaders, and seminary and Bible college administrators and faculty and staff and missionaries. Now, a personal note about Cherie, let me squeeze this in, then I will finish. I think we've got about 5 minutes and maybe less. Cherie is serving as missionary coordinator for the Philippine National Christian Education Department. Among her duties there are to pay for the salary and supplies and everything that the National Christian Education Office needs. One reason why her budget is as large as it is. She also serves as business administrator for the Assemblies of God Missionary Fellowship of the Philippines. That's the office that oversees all of our missionaries who are there Incidentally, in the Philippines, we have our largest group of missionaries anywhere in any country of the world. Of the assembly now. She additionally serves on the board of an orphan home. It's right up in that area, if you are up with your history, where the Japanese in Bataan gathered up all of our soldiers and marched them on that infamous death march up northward in the country, and then sent them to permanent POW camps for the duration of the war. She also furnishes the car and finances a team to do ministry to children. And she needs $2,500 in monthly support, and she needs $40,000 in her operating budget. Now, very many people know this, and I wouldn't say it to anybody but my home church here. She's had to dip into her own retirement program, which is meager for missionaries, in order to keep things afloat. So she needs $40,000 to help her reimburse herself for that,